Well, good morning. For those of you who may not know who this white-haired priest is that's standing in front of you this morning, I'm Father Randy Sly, and until 2015, I was here at Our Lady of Hope, and then was reassigned out to the Kansas City, Missouri area, where I am still serving. And out there, I am currently the president of St. Michael the Archangel Catholic High School, as well as serving the parish of our St. Therese North up near the airport in Kansas City. And it's good to be back. We're here for just a little vacation time during Thanksgiving. And what a joy it is to see each and every one of you here this morning. For those that you remember, that do remember me, you know that I am a married priest of the personal ordinary to the chair of St. Peter. And for those who are wondering if the better half is here, Sandy is here with me this morning, so you can get a gander at her along with my son David and his wife Rebecca, who still live here in the area and claim that we ran away from home when we were reassigned out there. But Happy New Year! Happy New Year! It's the beginning of a new year for us on the church calendar, and we're celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. And one of the things we have to remember that Advent is not the church's way of counting down how many more shopping days we have to Christmas. It's known as the Little Lent. It's like Lent, but not as rigorous, perhaps. But it's a time of self-examination, repentance, and reflection as we prepare for two comings of Christ. We're actually preparing both to celebrate his first coming and to anticipate his second coming. I love the way that St. Cyril of Jerusalem states it. He says, "We preach not only one advent of Christ, but a second also, far more glorious than the former. For the former gave us a view of his patience. But the latter brings with it the crown of the divine kingdom." And so Advent is a time, we might say, of celebrating a season of the already and not yet. Christ has already come, but he has not yet come again. And we're living in that interval between the two comings. And it is in this period of time that our Lord is really trying to prepare his church through this teaching to anticipate what will happen again in the future. And as we move through Advent into Christmas, we'll find ourselves at first being confronted by his second coming and then moving toward his first as we celebrate that on the Feast of the Nativity. And to help us to understand this second coming, Jesus uses Noah as his point of explanation. And he talks about the fact that Noah began building the ark at a time when people were just going through ordinary life. There wasn't a lot of extraordinary things going on except for the fact that man had become more and more and more and more sinful and departed from God's ways. But then suddenly, as he had finished the ark, things changed and splash! The flood. And at this point, Jesus reminds us that there are two groups of people that were a part of what was going on at that time in history. Those who were taken and those who were left during the rains. And when the torrents subsided and the ark again laid on solid ground, it was those who were left that departed the ark into safety. And so again today we are reminded of the fact as we begin Advent that Christ's church is our type of the ark for God's kingdom. In fact, the main body of the church, for those that might remember from your time in confirmation, the main body of the church is called a nave, which is the Latin for a ship. So we are reminded every time we enter into the church that we are in the ship of Christ. We are in the ark of God's kingdom, as we anticipate his second coming, when we again will land safely and get ready to enter into our eternal time with him. And during this interval between the two comings, our Lord is calling us today to vigilance, to live our lives not just in readiness to celebrate the first coming on Christmas, but also a readiness to be gathered with him as his flock when he comes again in glory, as we declare in our creed every week. And at this time, above and beyond anything else then, he is reminding us that our preparation should be our highest ambition. Being ready for his second coming should be supreme in every one of our lives. And in doing so, Jesus today is giving us three things, I think, that we can think about. The first thing is we need to be awake. Jesus reminds his people in this gospel reading, he says, therefore, stay awake. We have to remember that he says, we do not know on which day your Lord will come. You know, it's so easy for us to be lulled into a spiritual coma by the things that are going on in the world. And he's reminding us that we need to be fully awake in order to cast off all of the works of darkness that can accumulate in our lives. And this spiritual slumber in which we might be finding ourselves keeps us unaware of all that God wants us to do in our lives. St. Augustine once said that there are some people who, although Christ is here and the word is being preached, are still asleep as far as their soul is concerned. And today Jesus is again reminding us, wake up, get involved, make your soul the primary focus of your life. See, we can fall asleep. It's easy to fall asleep. Kind of like Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, after you eat all that turkey and the tryptophan kicks in and you start falling asleep. Well, that's a dangerous thing for me to do on a Sunday morning, isn't it, to yawn in front of you? But we can get kind of spiritually slumbering. It's easy to do that. We can look around at the people that are sitting even next to us in Mass and, you know, I'm better than they are. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and just live my life the way I am, because if I look around, I'm don't look at each other now because you might. But I'm doing pretty well. I'm not so bad. And we could also realize, you know, I'm much more holy than you know who. We can also then fall into superficiality when it comes to our spiritual disciplines. We can go through the motions of the Mass. Well, we begin with the sign of the cross, and by the time we're getting to communion, we go, wow, did I miss something? Where did I go? And your mind was someplace else. Where we're going to go to eat after the Mass, or what I've got to do when I get home. Ultimately, we can develop a hard-boiled heart, where we're here, but we're not really participating. We're not really invested in what God is doing in our lives, whether it is here at Mass or a part of our normal daily life. Our Lord has given us, thankfully, a wonderful way to wake up, not just during Advent, but during the whole year. Our wake-up call can come at confession, where we again present ourselves before the Lord, and there, as we go to confession and receive absolution, grace awakens in our hearts, and that we again find that fresh start, that freshening of our mind and our heart and our spirit, that we might go on with Christ in a powerful way. So during this Advent, what a great time for us again to enter into the confessional and leave wide awake and ready again to encounter Jesus in a fresh and new way. In addition to being awake, our Lord tells us today that we need to be prepared. And what does that look like? Well, St. Paul is the one that we can look to today for ways in which we can be prepared for his second coming. St. Paul tells us that it's a matter of two things, putting off some things and putting on another. We're told that we are to cast off the works of darkness. And that word cast is an active word. It's not just resisting. It's throwing away those things that are in our lives that are detrimental to our walk with Christ, and then to realize that we cannot, in fact, make any provision for them. What St. Paul is saying here is that, in other words, not only do you have to throw them away, but don't give them anything to feed on that they'll return. Because there are ways in which we can, in fact, encourage and nurture those works of darkness in our lives by things that are going on in our mind and our heart and in our work. we're still, he gives us some, in fact, some interesting ways of looking at it. And this is not an exhaustive list, by the way, but he says, here's some examples: orgies, drunkenness, promiscuity, lust, rivalry, and jealousy. Now, we can take those lists and even look at the tributaries of where they take us into ways in which our flesh can take root in our lives in a strong way and recognize the fact that it's time for us not only to realize what they are, but to put them off. It's an active term. Cast them off. Make no provision. But then, conversely, St. Paul says, also, you need to put on some things. It's not enough just to empty ourselves of that which is bad, but we need to appropriate to put on his character, to develop his virtues, to allow the work that God began in our baptism to even flourish in a greater way in our lives as his grace helps us to develop a virtuous way of life and holiness of purpose. Again, here we have the sacraments as a part of developing that grace as we encounter Jesus here in the Mass, for example, body, blood, soul, and divinity received into us through transubstantiation in communion. We have confession. We have other ways in which grace encounters us. We have times of prayer, adoration, encountering our Lord through the Scriptures, spiritual reading. The list can go on and on and on and on. And so we're reminded by our Lord, first of all, to be awake. Secondly, to be prepared. I think the third thing is very easy for us to think of, and that is, we just need to begin. In our first reading, this is what Isaiah declares. He says, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths." We're being invited into his presence. He's saying, come to climb the mountain of the Lord. Come on up. It's a wonderful place to be. We're invited on this first Sunday of Advent as we begin a new year in the church to begin a new year in our lives, a fresh year, a year of beginning. A year perhaps of recommitment to a life of prayer, a life of spiritual reading, and getting ourselves again immersed in the Holy Scriptures in so many beautiful ways. Do you know, if you open the book of Luke, which was the gospel for last year, and you begin today, by the time Christmas rolls around, you'll have read the entire gospel of Luke if you read one chapter a day. It's a great thing to encounter our Lord through the Scriptures like that. In other words, what we are called to do is to develop a daily personal relationship with our Lord, becoming a part of his kingdom in a fresh new way. Father John Cavanaugh, who was a former professor at St. Louis University, shared these words as he was reflecting on the first Sunday of Advent years ago, and he said this: "Since we do not know the time when our lives will stop or when the earth melts, every day must be one of presence. Vigilance is for now. The watchful eye, the expectant heart is for this moment in history. If we are sleepwalking our way through life, now is the time to come to." So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.